Commerce will come to order at 3:20. President or Representative Lynn, Representative Book, our newest representative, T. Wilson.
Like T-Rex.
Representative Holmes, Vice Chair Mark Newman, and myself, Chair Olson. I think Speaker Chenault will be joining us momentarily, but we have a quorum and conduct business. I request that everybody turn off their cell phones and Blackberries. We've had some interference with the recording devices, and several of us don't need any more bagels than the ones that we have coming from the last meeting. Anyway, we have one item on the agenda today, House Bill 283, which is kind of part two of a bill that we did 2 years ago, last year.
It's 2 years.
It's the enforcement portion of a bill that we did 2 years ago, and we have Representative Crawford presenting the bill, and you've got our undivided attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank you, members of the committee. I hardly know where to start here. Alcohol is a scourge, and it causes so much heartache in this state, more so than most any other state. We're right up at the top of the statistics on alcohol abuse. And what we were trying to do a few years ago when we started this was to prevent things like what happened with my wife, where a repeat offender that had already been ordered by the courts not to buy, consume, or enter the premises where alcohol sold for the purposes of buying alcohol or consuming alcohol, there was no way to identify him. He was able to continue his addiction and went out and continued to endanger other Alaskans, innocent Alaskans, hit my wife, almost hit my son, and it was several days there where we didn't know whether she would live or die. A lot of people asked me, well, did they catch the guy? As my wife was laying there in the emergency room, and I didn't know whether she was going to live or die, and I wasn't the least bit concerned at that point whether they caught him or not. The people were concerned about his punishment. I wasn't concerned about his punishment. What I wanted to know was whether she was going to live or not. What I wanted to do, what I thought of doing, was we have to do something to prevent this sort of thing from happening again, and for families going through what my family was going through. My wife was, she's the center, she's the core of our family. I can't imagine what life would be like without her. And I think it's a travesty what these people will continue to do again and again. And we got this bill passed. You now have a red stripe on your license if you're a felony alcohol offender. It doesn't happen after the first time. It happens after the second DUI. And what's happened, we didn't make it mandatory. What we did was we put an incentive on it, $1,000 fine against the person that is the offender. It goes to the business that actually takes the license away. Well, a lot of businesses actually didn't take that incentive. They're not checking the licenses. So what we've come back to you with is doubling the fine to $2,000, and we have a letter of intent here to share that extra $1,000 with the clerk that actually confiscated the license. So it gives them an incentive to check each and every license, certainly the ones that they know are chronic offenders, because many places in small communities and all, you know who they are. So that's basically what we're doing with this bill. The other thing that we're doing with this bill is expanding it to third-time misdemeanors that are, have an alcohol-related offense. Like, they beat up their wife three different times, now they did it under the influence of alcohol. We want to take alcohol out of that equation. So this has been expanded to take those folks. Basically, what we're trying to target are the chronic inebriates and people that are what the Anchorage Police Department calls frequent flyers that keep coming back time and time again. The APD says they spend about 35% of their budget on this group of folks that are, you know, that they see day in and day out almost. So that's what we're trying to do here. I got two fiscal notes just before the meeting started, and you know, it's a mystery to me how they came up with the numbers that they did. So hopefully they're going to tell me what the basis behind these new numbers are, because I don't know where the expense comes from. What we do as a result of the last bill is we charge the DMV charges $50 extra for each one of these red licenses, and that comes out of the pockets of the people that broke the law. So that $50 should well more than cover any new expenses that the DMV might have, because all this is doing is just doubling the fine and adding a few people more to the group. Somewhere they came up with 40,000. I can't imagine that we have 40,000 drunk drivers and wife beaters here a year. But you know, I'm sure they'll be able to answer the question as to where they came up with that number.
And I could add that we have Whitney Brewster online later on, also Shirley Gifford from the ABC. So
okay,
we should be able to get some clarification on that off of Director Brewster.
Mr. Chairman, this is the first meeting, I'm sure, of you know, a number of meetings before this is done, and we'll all learn as we go. I wish that I'd gotten this sooner, but well, do the best we can with what we've got. Thank you.
Any questions for Representative Book, Representative Lynn, and Representative Wilson, in that order?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Crawford, my question is going to allude to your query as well, so I can wait till we get answers from the department on the fiscal notes here. That's what that was all about. I was wondering where 40,000 people would meet these requirements. So.
Well, obviously, it's Anchorage and not Kenai and Soldotna. We don't have that many people.
Yeah, you're up here. Yeah.
Representative Lynn.
Representative Crawford, I ask you, I want to co-sponsor your bill, and I specifically ask you to bring a co-sponsor.
Oh, that's right.
Slip with you so I could do that, and did you do that? And I want to co-sponsor your bill.
Representative Lynn, the Alzheimer's took over, and
well,
I didn't.
Would you be to this other Alzheimer's person?
But I'll make sure to get you the green slip. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, through the chair. How would this impact those who move here? Would this count if you had maybe one or two DUIs in another state, and you came here and it was your third? Would this go into effect?
I think this starts all over anew what your record is here in this state.
Okay, because I was hoping you'd have the other side. because I know that's I know that happens a lot where people come in. And I know it depends upon whether the state can catch it or not.
Right. And, you know, we're trying to keep this as simple as possible. And, you know, I know that these computers are getting to the point where different states can interface with other states and all, and they may say that that's actually very simple, but the last testimony that we got was that it was going to be what went on here in Alaska.
Thank you. But
maybe that'll change.
Yeah. Good, thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have to raise my hand.
Yep, telepathic.
You know, Mr. Representative Crawford, certainly everybody can empathize with you in your relationship with your wife. It's the relationship. Mm-hmm. Everybody can empathize with you, the relationship with your wife. It's no different than a relationship with my wife, my family, my kids.
Right.
I get it. You know, I'm there. Where I start having issues is, and we talked about this earlier, that I've had time to try and think about this, is the more imposition in government control and government's influence into people's lives, and where do we start and stop this? And having crimes where they are a crime, they're a crime to start with, and it hasn't stopped. So we create more crimes for the crimes or laws for the laws type of a situation where we're going to go back and look at this law. We've got, you know, impositions here where they can impose up to 12 different orders or things that they can do, including forfeiture of state vehicle, weapons, electronic devices, money, valuables. The list goes on. That was just one paragraph. And then we added another paragraph and some subparagraphs there. It's an enforcement issue. And I've really been having trouble with me, and I've been searching on this one, trying to look at myself, so I'm asking for your opinions and answers and trying to get here. Where we have enforcement issues, and I continually hear from people that it's the few that ruin it for the many. And in Wasilla, there was discussion on putting permits on four-wheelers and stuff like that because there's people who drive on lawns. And it, to me, it just seems, and after a couple of years of looking at this and trying to figure out ways to do it, to put laws on laws, that there's a certain amount of people in our society that are just jerks, just plain jerks. I could probably come up with a lot more colorful things, and when you and I are talking, we do come up with more colorful ways of describing these people. Mm-hmm. You know, people who park in handicapped spots or drive drunk and things that just do things that are not right. Mm-hmm. We can have all the laws in the world, and it just doesn't seem to stop them. So do we say, okay, a clerk in a store, to try and influence a clerk in a store who's working in a liquor store to check more driver's license identifications. Mm-hmm. It's so that they have a red stripe on them to identify that they have a DWI. So we're going to give that clerk a bonus on it. I'm not sure. I haven't heard from anybody who owns liquor stores whether they have conversations with their clerks and they think this is a good idea or not, or why not this isn't working, because they already get a bonus now. So we'll increase the bonus and maybe that'll help, you know, to try and get more people to check. I don't know. I haven't heard from any of those folks. But when we're adding more things into here where we can allow more judiciary courts, which I think we've all had our problems with at times, to say, well, you can't consume alcohol for up to a lifetime. Doesn't matter if you're driving a vehicle or beating your wife. Unfortunately, I think when people beat their wives, I don't know if alcohol helps or not, there are just some people out there who beat their wives, and unfortunately for society, they're here. Alcohol's probably a driven factor in it. Drugs are probably a driven factor in a lot of this. Anger, I don't know what sparks a lot of that. But I really have, I don't know, call it probably more of a libertarian streak in me than anything, that when we try and put more laws on laws, that I truly have issues. I'm really having struggling with this one. And since we've talked, I thought about it, and I'm trying to rationalize this. And then when we said, okay, we had revenue look at this, and I don't know, it seems fairly clear to me when they say that they're going to have more employees to do this. Probably will. That's your hope that they do, that they have more people. And so there's more government employees and cover the cost of this. Supplies, materials, everything else that kind of goes along with that. So I think we'll hear from them. But if you could help me with my struggle here on, again, more laws to... If the law doesn't stop somebody from doing something, is another law going to stop them from doing it?
If you don't, what's up, Mr. Chairman?
I guess that was a long way of asking a question, but I'm really...
Yeah, and I'm not sure, and I know what the question was, but I'm going to do my best with it. If, you know, we're not changing the law at all about, you know, what the judge can impose as a condition... their sentence. That's been in there for a long time. You know, the whole idea of ordering a person not to buy, consume, or enter the premises where alcohol is sold for the length of their sentence and their probation was there years before I ever got into this. What I didn't know was that there was no way to identify those people. They would leave the courtroom. Some of them would go right to a bar. What we did was, you know, find a way to actually identify those people that have proven that they can't handle alcohol and that the judge has already said they can't handle alcohol. So this was just a way of identifying those people. Now, what we've done is double the fine and given their clerk a reward so that the clerk is a little more interested in taking the driver's license or state ID from those people that are more than 30 years old, because they do it as a matter of course right now for everybody that's under 30 years old. And I don't know if you ever shop at Costco, but you have to pull out your license, I mean your wallet, and show them your Costco card just to walk in the door. It's not a great huge deal to show your license. You know, if you're a law-abiding, non-offending person, you don't have a problem here. But it's for those people that have proven that they can't handle alcohol. Had the clerk checked Lori Phillips's driver's license or state ID, because I'm not even sure that she actually had a driver's license when she killed that person here a few months ago, then maybe she wouldn't have gotten that alcohol and wouldn't have gone out on the Seward Highway and killed somebody. You know, she's one of those people that blacks out under the influence of alcohol. She hardly knew that she had even committed a crime under the influence there. And what I was talking about with those chronic inebriates that are coming in day after day after day, if we can take alcohol out of the equation, some of those folks might even straighten their life up and fly right again. Alcohol is you know, both a cause of the problem and the outgrowth of a deeper problem sometimes. So this is just giving them one more tool to try to make their life a little better. I don't want to you know, intrude into people's privacy. I know that getting drunk and hurting other people is not a right. It's a privilege, and some people have proven they don't deserve that privilege.
Representative Newman, we have Shirley Gifford online, I believe, still. And For those of you that don't know Ms. Gifford, she was the first patrol officer in Anchorage, woman patrol officer, rose through the ranks in Anchorage, moved to Soldotna, became my police chief for a number of years, and now is in charge of the alcoholic beverage control. I think that she has probably had more experience with alcohol issues than the vast majority of people in the state. 30 years worth, probably, I'm guessing. I hope that wasn't off too much, really.
Thank you, sir.
Does that but, mean Representative Newman, more alcohol than the rest of us?
No, I don't think so. But I think if you want to address your questions and concerns to Ms. Gifford, she can probably give you some answers to your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Gifford, Representative Newman, here. You've looked at these. I'm sure that you've tried to look at different laws, lots of laws. Do laws, if somebody isn't a chronic alcoholic, it's a disease. You know, treating a disease is the best way to do it. Is the way to do that by saying we're going to make more laws to try and fix something? You're not curing the problem. You know, you're not going after the problem. You're not curing the disease. And can you talk about that?
I mean, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that introduction. Appreciate this opportunity to be available for questions.
Could you identify yourself just for the record, please?
Yes, sir. Shirley Gifford. I'm director for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. And I do have about 28 years in law enforcement, so I do have some experience with alcohol and understand that alcohol is related to many, many crimes, probably upwards of 90-95% of violent crimes. So alcohol is, like Representative Crawford mentioned, it has caused a lot of heartache in our state. Certainly, you know, I'm here to provide some factual information if I can. Being now a director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, I believe that, you know, it takes enforcement is a very critical part of dealing with alcohol, and that does not negate the importance of education and prevention. I don't believe you can have any one of the three without without the others. So it's important. We have to have laws, and certainly I think that what the work of the ABC board does is very, very important in regulating those licensees. So that's a small part of where alcohol plays a part in our state. And it is a huge part, and I'm speaking, you know, with my law enforcement hat on right now, that it's a huge problem, and I have to agree with Representative Crawford that it can be a scourge.
Follow up?
Well, I don't think anybody disagrees with that, that it can be a scourge. I don't think you could ever find anybody that would disagree with that. I'm just concerned about, if we've got laws, to me it's like gun laws. You can have a law against guns and people are going to have guns, and you can create more gun laws and it's not going to stop people from having guns. And I guess it's kind of a philosophical thing here, so something we'll have to work through. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions for Ms. Gifford while we're over on the line? Thanks again, Shirley.
Okay, thank you, Representative Olson.
We have Whitney Brewster online from the. Representative Wynn has a question for you.
Well, not actually a question, it's just a comment. Maybe she can weigh in on this. But to me, at least, this bill is not about curing alcoholism. It's about keeping convicted drunks off the street. Curing alcoholism is some kind, I don't think anybody really knows. It's behavior modification, it's some kind of medical intervention, perhaps some combination of the above. This is, and we all want to do that, but this is about keeping the drunks off the street while they're figuring out how to get rid of the underlying problem.
Shirley, will you be able to stay online in case we need you later on?
Yes, sir. I'm still on the line.
Oh, great. Thanks. We also have Whitney Brewster, director of the DMV. Are you with us, Ms. Brewster?
Yes, Chairman, I'm here.
Please identify yourself for the record, and you've got our undivided attention.
Great. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the director for the Division of Motor Vehicles. Currently, as Representative Crawford pointed out, the DMV does put a restriction on a driver's license or ID card for individuals who are restricted from purchasing alcohol as condition of sentencing for a DUI. Like Mr. Crawford indicated, that is designated on the license or ID card with a bright red banner that makes it obvious to anyone checking the identification that that individual is restricted from purchasing alcohol. I just wanted to speak to the fiscal note, because I know that there were a number of questions regarding that. And this, the estimates that we used were based on information that we received from the Alaska Justice Statistical Analysis Center. And unfortunately, there isn't a lot of data out there that shows, that we were able to locate, that shows how many convictions were alcohol related or where the individual was suspected of consuming alcohol, and that was a contributing factor. But what the Statistical Analysis Center has is a relational database that is comprised of merged data from the courts, from public safety and corrections. And for instance, in 2007, there were 104,656 incidents where alcohol was suspected as being a factor. And that's not including situations where it was bootlegging or selling of the substance. Someone was under the influence during the time of the crime. Now, from that amount, we took approximately 40% of those incidents, and that's what you see represented in the fiscal note. The number could be higher. It could be lower. We just don't know for certain, but in the absence of more complete data, this is certainly a start. And so just to kind of explain the process as to what the DMV does when we receive a judgment from the court where someone is alcohol restricted, we receive the judgment from the court. It's a hard copy paper judgment that we receive. The alcohol restriction is handwritten on the judgment. Therefore, the DMV has to look at each judgment and hand data enter that information, that restriction, into the person's driving record. And because there is no electronic transmission of the data currently, we're going to have additional resources to be able to review those court orders and data enter it into the DMV system. And we are working very closely with the courts as well as DPS on electronic data exchange, but we are not currently there yet. Right now, CourtView does not have data elements to enter an alcohol restriction into their electronic system that would then transmit to the DMV's very old and antiquated mainframe system to be able to accept that data. So with that, I'm happy to answer any other additional questions.
Representative Lynn?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Brewster, for testifying today. As I understand it, we already have the law in place where you put this red stripe or whatever it is on the license after a person has been convicted, and you have adequate documentation that they have in fact been convicted. And so, as I understand this bill, maybe I'm missing something, doesn't this bill simply double the fine over which for somebody who has already been identified under the system? Maybe I didn't say that. I know. No, you have a database out there now. People for whom you put this red stripe warning banner on there now. And is there anything in this bill that imposes anything more than that would affect the DMV? Because it sounds to me like it's just basically a reward to the liquor store or bar clerk to get the license, and he gets rewarded for it by $1,000. Am I wrong?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the bill actually broadens the offenses that would be allowed to receive a alcohol restriction on. For instance, right now the DMV only puts alcohol restrictions on DUI offenses. This would broaden to include any crime where alcohol is suspected as being a contributing factor.
I see.
When it's three times.
Through the chair, correct.
Yeah. Follow-up? And let's pursue that with some of the other members of the committee. Then I have another question, just a slightly different topic.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I am looking at the section on pages 3 and 4 where it does actually broaden it beyond DUIs. And it looks like it adds two types of two situations where you can get this stripe on your license beyond a DUI. One of them, you have to have been convicted of a felony. I'm on line 25 on page 3. Convicted of a felony, and the court finds by clear and convincing evidence the defendant's conduct constituting the offense was substantially influenced by the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Or in subsection B, you have to have been convicted of a misdemeanor, have at least two other prior misdemeanors, and the court has to find by clear and convincing evidence, which is a fairly high standard, that based on the defendant's history, there's a reason to believe that imposing a requirement that the defendant refrain from consuming alcoholic beverages is necessary to protect the public. I mean, that's a pretty high burden, and I would say, and I understand Ms. Brewster's problem. Sorry, that's a pejorative word. I didn't mean that in any way, shape, or form.
Challenge
is what I meant in figuring this out, because we really don't know how many cases this is going to. So I'm entirely sympathetic to the dilemma of trying to figure out how many cases this will be put in. But from a judge or law standpoint, these are actually pretty high burdens. The judge will not be imposing these in all the cases just because alcohol was involved. And I think that a 40% rate is probably a very overly generous prediction of how often these things will actually be going forward.
Mr. Chairman? What we understand is that, you know, that there are between 100 and 200 of these so-called frequent flyers in Anchorage that take up 35% of the total budget of the Anchorage Police Department. These people, there are 104,000 total alcohol-related offenses each year. How many of them are by a very small number of people that, you know, once it's done, once this license or state ID is issued, you don't have to keep doing it over and over again. So I don't know what the right number is. And I understand that Ms. Brewster has a tough job to try to figure out what the right number is. But I can't imagine that there are 40,000 people, 40,000 Alaskans out there that have committed a felony or three misdemeanors that involve alcohol every year. How many licenses do we actually issue each year, and what percentage of the population is that? 40,000. I don't know. There's 680,000 people in Alaska, give or take a few thousand. That is 40,000 of those 680,000. That's a real high percentage. So I think that the numbers can be far less than that. I'd like to hear how many alcohol-restricted licenses are actually out there on the street right now, how many have been issued so far, and if there's a deficit in taking care of those right now because they get $50 extra for each and every one of those licenses.
Director Brewster, do you have an answer on that?
Through the chair, to answer Representative Crawford's bill, I believe that there are currently 2,133 restricted licenses currently on the street.
Thank you.
Representative Newman, followed by Representative Lynn, Book, and Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Harry, did I hear you say that something about a year where you have to have three violations with 1 year for this to be enacted?
No.
I thought that's what you just said, that you didn't believe that they'd have.
I asked, you know, how many times in a year could this happen?
Oh, how many times in a year?
You know, how often do you get your state ID reissued or your driver's license reissued? You know, once that red mark is on there, you know, you don't have to keep going back in each time there's another violation.
Yeah, I just thought you'd said that you have to have like three of those a year, I thought is what you said. You know, if I may ask Shirley Gifford.
Sure.
Shirley, here's, Ms. Gifford, here's my concern. The fiscal note on this says $2 million. I don't think there's anybody here who would say probably a good thing to do would be to put $2 million towards alcohol prevention, you know, to go in after the disease. And so, you know, and so when we're looking at fiscal notes on implementation on this is, again, it's to almost like a chicken egg kind of thing where, you know, going after prevention, I think $2 million would go a long ways to help towards prevention. I think that's the problem I'm having. Shirley, do you have a comment on that? How much money is going into alcohol prevention like that? Would $2 million make a difference?
Through the chair, I believe that was Representative Newman.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Boy, that's a really tough question to ask, and I guess I have to still stand on my belief that you have to have law enforcement, and you have to have prevention, and you have to have programs, and you know, I'm assigned to on the law enforcement end of it, and so, you know, we're always going to try to find ways to make it easier to catch the few people that commit most of the crimes. And so if there is a law on the books that could be made better, give more weight to it, I would have to be on the side of that. Catching the perpetrators is what I've done my whole career. So, you know, I guess I have a little bit of a bias toward catching the criminals and how do you do that and what kind of laws can be implemented that would best do that. I think providing incentives for people to help is probably not a bad way to go. Certainly it's a good management tool getting buy-in from employees. I'm here basically to answer questions and not necessarily give an opinion on the bill per se. However, I can say that since the restricted license law went into effect, we are hearing stories. I don't have numbers to attach to it, but we hear anecdotally that other forms of identification are being used at a higher rate. You know, we get people calling in saying, you know, what's going on? Why are people using different forms of ID, passports and different out of, not necessarily out of state, but other forms of ID that people are using to show their age, maybe military ID or tribal council IDs or whatever. And, you know, we're left to speculate, but I think it's, you know, it sure creates a good question in your mind. Well, why is this happening when you have, you know, 2,133 restricted licenses out there for people who where alcohol consumption has been proven to be a problem, there is a pretty good chance that at least some of those are because they have a restricted license. So, you know, you kind of think, well, how do you, if they're allowed to do that, well, how does the restricted license really have an effect if they're allowed to use some other form? So I guess the law enforcement officer part of me says, you know, this gives a little weight.
Bob?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Chair. Surely I do appreciate your comments and your opinionness and your background, and I think you'd probably say that another $2 million in enforcement would probably help, too. But that said, we'll continue on. I'm still trying to work this out. Thank you.
Representative Lynn?
Could I interject?
Representative Crawford.
This fiscal note here is not a $2 million negative fiscal note. It's $140,000 of expenses, but they take in $2 million because of the extra licenses that are being put out. If in fact there were 40,000 of these that were issued, I can't imagine that there would ever be 40,000 issued, but we don't know what that number is. What we do know is that it'll be a positive number for the DMV. However many of these licenses they issue, they're going to make money on each one of them. Thank you.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This doesn't relate to the fiscal note, not issue, but fiscal note question, I guess I should say. I'm just wondering, we talked about these folks coming in from out of state, and we don't know if they've had prior conviction in those other states. Ms. Brewster, do you presently require new drivers seeking an Alaska license and coming in from out of state with some other state license to disclose any sort of out-of-state DUI convictions?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the answer is no, only if they run into trouble here.
Okay. And then the follow-up question, because it is just a question, would that be an easy or practical thing to do for us to think, not attached to this bill, because I don't want to slow it down, but for us to consider something in the future, perhaps? Would that be helpful?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, that is most certainly something that we would be interested in looking at. I think it would be possible and likely helpful.
Okay, thank you. We can talk later. Thank you very much.
Representative Wilson.
I guess my question just to Director Brewster, do you think $50 is enough to charge people to get this type of a license, or should we be looking at a higher fee to pay for the cost that's going out to monitor these things?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the $50 fee was established by the legislature. Our typical amount is $20 for a license. So ultimately, the money does not go into the DMV's coffers. It goes into the statewide coffers. So it really wouldn't make a significant difference to the division whether or not the fee was different for this restricted license.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, that was Representative Tammy Wilson.
Who's close? Thank you. Your turn.
Any further questions?
No.
We have one other person on. We actually have one person online. Bonnie Hayes from Anchorage. Are you with us, Bonnie?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you please state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, my name is Bonnie Hayes, and I am a convicted drunk driver. And I am here with my license with a red stripe on it, and I wanted to talk about this this law. First of all, this license does not stop me from getting behind the wheel of the car and driving drunk because there are still clerks out there that will sell me alcohol. When I first got my license, I went to all the liquor stores where I used to buy alcohol, and I showed them the license, and they no longer sell to me. When I relapsed, I sought out other liquor stores, and I got, and they sell to me, because they don't ask, because I'm 45 years old, and I'm a professional. I dress nice, and I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't look like a convicted drunk driver. The reason that I'm here is because this law was a good thing that was put into place for people like me. And I have to say that I am very typical of most alcoholics. I didn't actually start having a problem with alcohol until I was in my 30s. And I slowly went from an alcohol abuser to an alcoholic, an addict. I've been through treatment. I go to AA. I have counselors. But I have to tell you that treatment works in 4% of the population. I have done a lot of research on this. I'm in school. I'm studying prevention and education of substance abuse. 4% of all alcoholics will get sober and stay sober. The rest of us spend our life in and out of recovery. We spend our lives in and out of relapse. I have had many, many months, years of sobriety. But when I relapse, I drink. And I am one of these people that I cannot handle my alcohol. I have one drink, and it leads to another. The cravings sometimes are insatiable. I was in Walmart just last week, and I have to tell you, I've come off a relapse. I'm doing well now, but I saw the liquor store in Walmart, and something triggered, and I actually went in there. They wouldn't sell to me because I wouldn't show them my driver's license with the red stripe, and I walked out, and I stayed sober. It's so easy to ask me, do you have a driver's license? Do you have ID? Because most of them do. And when they ask me that, I simply walk away and I don't drink and I don't get behind the wheel of the car. But when I relapse, and it will happen, you know, I can only guarantee that I'm sober right now and I'm sober today. I can't guarantee you that I'm not going to drink next week. I can't guarantee you that I'm not going to drink and get behind the wheel of my car and kill somebody. For those of you that have family here in Anchorage, you should be worried. Because I'm typical. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want this. I struggle with it daily. And most of the time I win. Most of the time I go to my AA meetings or I go to treatment, I go talk to my counselor, and I'm okay. But sometimes this disease just kicks my butt, and it just gets the better of me. And again, you know, I've heard so many things here this afternoon, and one of them is the few ruining it for the many. We're not talking about riding a four-wheeler on someone's lawn. We're talking about getting behind the wheel of the car and killing someone like Lori Phillips did. I'm ashamed to tell you this, but 3 days after Lori Phillips did this, and this is on a totally, I mean, it has nothing to do with Lori Phillips, but I drove drunk. I drove in a blackout. I had to be told the next day where I actually drove my car. And it's because I'm an alcoholic and I have a disease. And I was in relapse. And again, I'm very typical. They say, and this is a cliche, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, you know what? It takes a village, it takes a community to stop drunk drivers. If only 4% of people successfully complete a recovery treatment and stay sober, then maybe we should spend the rest of the money, the other 96%, and focus on prevention, because prevention does work. If you can prevent me from drinking, I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to get behind the wheel. I'm actually taking a class right now called the Substance Abuse Prevention and Education, and I showed them my license last week. We're having a discussion about this because prevention does work. There's a gal in my class, and she's lost her license, and she'll be getting it back here next year. She didn't know about this red stripe, and I showed it to her, and I told her. I said, this stops me most of the time from buying alcohol and drinking. And her face lit up. She said, I'm going to have that on my license, won't I? And I said, you will. And she was happy because the same reason when I first got my license, I was so happy I went around and showed it to everybody because I knew that this is just one more tool. This is one more thing that was going to keep me sober. And if I drink, I'm going to die. Alcoholics, if we don't stop drinking, we die. And sometimes we take other people along with us. I'm rambling. I don't know what else to say. I'm not sure what else to say. Do you maybe have any questions? Anything else?
I have one comment. This is Kurt Olson. That's probably the most compelling testimony I've heard in the whole period I've been down here, and I appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Ms. Hayes?
Same comment.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you, Ms. Hayes.
Is there anybody else online that would care to testify? Anybody in the room? With that, we'll close public testimony. Bring it back to the committee. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion, I'll provide it.
I'm ready for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill number 283, 26-LS1218-E to next committee of referral with individual recommendations and any fiscal notes.
Is there any opposition? With that, we will move the bill out of committee. Meeting adjourned at 4:10.